Hey everybody, I just wanted to give an update on the Forerunner situation. A huge thank you to everybody. It has been found. Big thanks to social media. So go you guys. You'll get to hear I was a little bit down in this episode, and then within 48 hours of the initial Forerunner being stolen, I was able to track it down and get it back again because everybody out there that was awesome and supported the whole venture there. So we're currently working on capturing the perpetrator, and we'll give you guys an update on how everything plays out here on next week's episode. So until then, enjoy this one. This episode of Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler cries and Jimmy is too hot. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how awesome six-shooter knuckles are, then this is the podcast for you. I am your host today, Tyler, and sitting here on the other side of the recording studio couch is the one and only Jimmy James Hydrojet. You're still keeping that nickname, by the way. Jimmy, how are you today?
I got so many nicknames now. You threw in like every possible name or variation of my formal name in there, pretty much.
Yeah, it's okay. Our booze brothers over at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey have come up with like four more nicknames for me over the last weekend. Yeah.
I'm sure. When I listen to them, and they always have a new one. Oh, yeah. Two Valve Tyler, Tan Line Tyler. Uh-huh. Yeah, Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay. There was, what was the other ones they came up with this weekend? I can't remember now, but they were pretty funny.
Oh, I'm sure we'll hear about them on their podcast. The Whiskey, Wine, and Wheeling podcast, yeah.
Wheeling, Wine, and Whiskey is what they are, so.
I always like whiskey before the other ones, so I think I put it first.
You put them in preferential order?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. That's cool. So, before we get into kind of what we've been doing, you guys may be wondering why there is a surprise episode coming out on a day that's not a Thursday. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you guys are just like, oh, it's a surprise episode. Or maybe you just went to download the correct episode on Thursday and you just got two episodes. That's a possibility as well.
This isn't coming out before, right?
This is going to come out on tomorrow.
This is coming out, and then the main topic.
And then the campfire discussion is going to come out on Thursday.
So we're doing...
Jimmy doesn't even know. I don't even know what's going on. We're kind of making up as we go.
I thought what we were going to do was we were going to do the main topics on Monday.
Well, yes.
So,
okay, so... See, I don't know what's going on. This is great. No, so yeah, the way we're going to be having it structured moving forward, because you guys are going to get a nice bonus episode here, is we're going to start doing two episodes per week.
The camera's not on, by the way.
Oh.
I mean, it's on, but it's not recording.
Oh. Well, then I'm going to stop making gestures at the camera. No, so we're going to be doing two episodes a week. Because we found that as we're talking, and we tend to talk a lot, as you guys know, a lot of you guys like listening to us talk a lot, which is really cool. We got a lot of good feedback about the lengths of our episodes. But on the other end of it, when we're recording, we kind of end up feeling like we have to rush along a little bit. We don't really get to really delve into some of the side topics and other things that we want to get into.
Absolutely.
So what we're going to end up doing is splitting the show into two episodes per week, and we'll do the campfire discussion is going to show up on Monday mornings into all of your podcasting platforms, all your programs and apps out there. And then the kind of what we did during that weekend, the previous weekend, will be showing up on a regular Thursday morning scheduled time frame. So updates on what's going on with the family, Jimmy's fleet family there. What's going on with the lost child? We'll explain that in a minute. Kind of what we've been up to over the weekends through wheeling and camping and hiking and hanging out with people, or getting stuck on the side of a freeway and then going hanging out at Rough Stuff.
Right. All the above.
All of the above. So That's kind of how the format's going to lay out from here on out. Hopefully, we'll be able to keep the episodes around, you know, essentially the topics, what we've been talking about, have taken about a roughly an hour per kind of segment there. So, we're still guessing they'll take about an hour per segment. But we're just going to split it up so that you guys can kind of split it up throughout your week as well. Yeah. Hope you guys enjoy it. Let us know how you like the format. So we'll be moving forward with that from here on out. So today, this episode is going to be showing up to your eardrums and your podcasting platforms on Thursday, which means today we're going to be talking about the main topic, right?
No.
No. Oh, my God. Sorry. I have some other stuff going on right now. My brain's in a
We're doing
flutter.
Thursdays.
Hey, why don't you explain what's going on? You go do it.
Thursdays, we are doing just our general banter, what we call our general banter.
Pause. Microphone down. Okay, we're back. So, yeah, I don't even know what's going on, and I'm losing microphones all over the place. So, there you go. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So, what's going on, Jimmy?
Thursdays, we are going to be doing our what we call general banter, where we kind of talk about what we've been up to and what is happening within that week. And then on Mondays is going to come out what we call the campfire discussion, which is our main topics and, you know, just other specific focused discussions.
Cool. Okay, cool. I hope everybody gets that, and I hope everybody ignores what I just said.
We could probably cut that part out.
Yeah, we'll see if I get around to post-editing today. So that's going to be fun. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a good change to the podcast, because we've also had some feedback that some people really like the banter, but don't really like the campfire discussions, and some people just listen for the campfire discussions and don't really enjoy kind of the banter stuff. So now you'll be able to listen to whatever episode you want to listen to.
Yep.
So it'll be good. It'll be cool.
I think breaking it up is going to be a lot easier on people out there that, you know, they can listen for a little while and have that. And then later in the week, another episode will pop out and you can continue to listen. So.
Yep. So, cool. I think that's going to be fun. Other than the new episode, the new episode structure kind of moving forward from here, we have a big thank you to and shout out to all of our Patreons out there, patrons. God, I keep messing that up. All of our patrons out there. So, thank you guys to all of you guys. We had J Squared won the July giveaway for the rock lights, the RGB rock lights. So, coming up this month is the Exploration Ready Advanced First Aid Kit. This is a really, really cool first aid kit. Comes in a roll up, nylon bag, very heavy duty. It's going to last you a long time. Has a ton of stuff in there. There's over 150 items in there. And it is, valued at $150. So you guys are getting that for just $10 if you are getting a chance at getting it at $10, right. I should say.
No, it's like one person's getting it for $10.
Yeah, make sure the legal team doesn't get on me here. So. Then you can find that over at explorationready.com. Really cool website. They got some really cool first aid kits up there. You can use your HSA, your health savings account, or your flex spending account with your work benefits to order these off-road first aid kits, which are awesome. So they have it all set up on there. That you can do that. And when you go and check out, make sure you use the coupon code, the discount code SNAILTRAILPOD. So that's just like it sounds, SNAILTRAILPOD over at explorationready.com. So check them out. They're really cool people, a really cool couple that started this. They saw a big need because the wife is not an EM, maybe she's an EMT.
ER nurse
or EMT. I forget. Are you ER nurse? That's what it is?
I think. Yeah, I believe so.
And so they do a lot of off-roading, and she has seen some accidents on the trail. And, you know, being in the ER, she has seen people misuse certain items that come in other medical kits or first aid kits. So she has kind of tailored this first aid kit, and they've put it together for stuff that you would most commonly need on the trail. Essentially just to get somebody stabilized, to get them back to a hospital or back to help kind of thing. So these are really cool. They do have a ripaway MOLLE panel on the back of them. That's on the pack via Velcro. So you can put it on a MOLLE panel in your rig, and when you need the first aid kit, you can just grab the handle on the top and pull it off, and it comes right off, and you can, it's very quick access, really cool design. So go check them out, Exploration Ready. Tell them that Snail Trail sent you guys and you had a good time. You heard about us through the podcast, heard about them through the podcast, and that really helps things move along. So yeah, check them out. Sign up on the Patreon, the giveaway tier. It's $10, $10. And you get a chance to automatically get entered into the raffle for this month's giveaway, which is the advanced first aid kit.
So yeah, I'm going to get one probably regardless.
Yeah, I'm going to end up getting one too, especially since I can use my HSA. So
right.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool.
That's really awesome.
Also, I want to do a big shout out to Ryan. Congratulations mm-hmm. to Ryan for winning the Vaunt LED Camp Lantern. Just a random drawing from people that made comments on that video. And mm-hmm. That is headed out today. It's in the mail on your way. And thank you very much for playing along.
Yep. So if you have not checked yet, check out that video on the YouTube Snail Trail channel. It's the Vaunt LED lanterns, really cool lanterns. So I used mine up at Sierra Trek this last weekend, and they were awesome. So check them out. And thank you, Ryan, for entering that giveaway, and congrats. I hope you have fun with your lanterns. So. Yeah. And then
we're probably going to be doing another giveaway from Vaunt coming up here pretty nice. Soon, too, with just about some flashlights. So oh, nice. That'll be pretty neat.
So can I win? Because there's a good chance that I don't have any flashlights anymore.
Okay. Or they sent me two, one to kind of demo and show off, and then another one to use and learn and study before I mm-hmm. do the show. And maybe I'll okay. donate the one that they gave me.
We'll see.
We'll see.
So, yeah. So watch out for that giveaway to come up. It'll be announced on the YouTube channel there with their mm-hmm. the Vaunt LED flashlights, which are also really cool.
Yeah.
We were playing definitely. With them back at the Snail Trail shop. A few weeks ago. So,
mm-hmm.
And then of course, our newest patron this week is Earl. So thank you, Earl, for all of your support. Hope you get as much value out of it as we appreciate you there. So, definitely you guys, helping us out on the patron side definitely helps the show move forward. We're starting to, if you guys listened to that last episode, we're starting to record the podcast on video.
Yep.
And putting them up on the YouTube channel, so you guys will be able to watch the main topics, at least the campfire discussions we're going to have up there, rather than putting up the banter as well, since we feel like the banter is more just us kind of BSing and talking back and forth.
Yeah.
So
it might be the fun part, but it's not informational, and I feel that the YouTube channel, people want the informational part.
Yeah.
You know, to watch that, so
yeah. So that, and I feel like, you know, watch, it's not visually entertaining.
No.
Watching us banter
watching
back
us
and
talk.
Forth.
So. No, not at all.
So anyway, so the main topics, campfire discussions, are going to be on the YouTube mm-hmm. channels over there, the YouTubes. So check yeah. those out. But some of the your guys's donations from the patron have gone to some better video equipment that we're putting to use to make some better productions for you guys. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for everybody out there that has donated. It's going to create cool content for you guys. So moving on from that, did you want to talk about kind of what you've been up with Bobcat? Because I know you had an interesting day last weekend
yeah.
with Bobcat.
Sure. We can. Do you want to jump into that next?
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, we need to start with kind of a good, entertaining, positive note here
yeah.
because I'm going to end up crying when we get to mine.
Yeah, understandable. Yeah, so I was taking Bobcat out to go. We were going to drive into Fordyce the weekend before Sierra Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just going to go from Eagle Lakes to the first river crossing because the flow rate's super high.
Yeah.
So I prepped the truck, checked the bolts, checked the fluids, got mm-hmm. everything ready.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the first trip that I was taking with the girlfriend, the first time I was
yeah.
taking her out. And
was she excited about it, or was she kind of apprehensive, or?
She was excited for it. She
okay.
was, she knows how much I enjoy it, and then, she wanted to try it out and experience it. And I sort of see that she'll come on one, maybe two trips a year, but, you
okay.
know, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I've yet to take her on one, so yeah. We'll see what happens.
True.
So anyway, so I drove a few miles and popped on the freeway, and as I was heading up the grade, I didn't even make it one exit before I looked down at my thermostat, and it was pinged all the way over on the hot side.
Ooh, you're hot stuff, man.
Yeah, I blamed it on her for being too hot for the truck. But.
That is funny. She gets in the truck and it overheats all of a sudden. Bobcat gets a little shy. I think it gets performance anxiety.
That or he was just jealous.
But, oh, man.
Yeah. So,
it pinged all the way hot.
All the way over.
Yeah. Was it running? I mean, you were barely one exit on the freeway, so it didn't really have enough time to heat up then, did it?
I mean, I think that's sort of when it was just heating up, mm-hmm. you know, and then as soon as it is heating up, it just flew all the way across the board.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you blow a radiator hose or something? What happened?
No, everything looked good. I pulled over on the side of the freeway immediately, mm-hmm. right? I just was like, oh, dang, I'm hot. And I pulled over and not even in a great spot. And thanks. And and then I popped the hood and, you know, looked in my coolant reservoir and there wasn't any excess fluid in the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, maybe I'm low on fluid.
Okay.
Also, it was blowing cold air. Which I was like, huh, that's odd.
And you turned on the heater and it was blowing cold air?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
And then, I squeezed the top radiator hose was hot.
Mm-hmm.
The radiator was hot. You know, didn't look like any hoses were blown. There was no fluid on the ground. Like, mm-hmm. it wasn't leaking out anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, let's just let it cool down for a while.
Yeah.
And we sat there for a while and it never cooled down. Like the gauge never went down.
Interesting.
Right. And I was
it stayed like you had the engine off.
Engine
the
off.
Hood up. Sitting on the side of the freeway.
Yep.
And it never moved cooler at all.
No, not at all.
And it wasn't blowing hot air.
Interesting.
And so
I was like, you know what? It should start to be getting cool now.
Yeah.
I'm on the side of this hill and not in the best of spot. I'm going to turn the engine on,
uh-huh.
and I'm going to drive up the hill until I know there's a kind of a pull out on the side of the freeway, uh-huh. and I can just put the vehicle and us in a safer position.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was probably after 20 minutes or so.
Jeez.
And then I pulled up on the side of the, maybe 10 minutes, but it was around there. So I pulled up on the side of the road, and once I turned the vehicle on, it started blowing hot air.
Okay.
So I was like, that's interesting. Because I know when the vehicle blows cold air, it usually means that the water in your radiator is low. That's one of the things that could mean.
Yeah, either that or it's just your engine isn't warmed up yet because that's what creates the heat for your cab heater system.
Sure.
Is, you know, the water coming off of your coolant and going through your coolant goes through a heater core, which is essentially like a little mini radiator mm-hmm. In your dash somewhere. And as it goes through there's a fan that blows air through that. Right. And so as the air blows through, it heats up because the heater core is hot because your coolant is running through it.
Correct.
And then that air comes out into your cabin. So
mm-hmm.
if it's not blowing hot air, that means your engine hasn't really warmed up yet.
Right. And I was probably 2 to 3 miles from my house.
Interesting. Okay.
So, so I pulled us off the freeway pretty uh-huh. far. I only moved maybe 100-200 yards up the freeway,
uh-huh.
you know, and I went slow. Like uh-huh. I didn't just like, you know, go through the gears as fast as I could to get there.
Did you drop it into crawl?
No.
And walk next to it?
No. There wasn't much walking
ghost
room.
Ghost ride Bobcat up the freeway 300 yards?
Almost when I pulled off the freeway, a CHP officer pulled off right immediately.
Oh, okay.
And I said, you know, I talked to him and I was just like, I'm going to let it cool and I'm going to, you know, figure out what's going on with it, you know, mm-hmm. and see what's going on. And he's like, he was like, cool, no problem. Mm-hmm. You know, call us and we have a free service here in California to get you off the freeway.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I didn't know about that, but it's literally, hey, we're going to tow you to the next exit.
To the nearest exit.
To the nearest exit and get you off the freeway.
Yeah. After that, it's up to you.
After that.
Okay. Then
call AAA or whatever and tell them to get you at that exit.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so I was like, okay, I appreciate that. I'm going to let it cool down. So then another 20 minutes-ish, well, maybe, about 20 minutes. By this time, at least 20 minutes has gone by
mm-hmm.
from their first stop. And I was able to take the radiator cap off.
Okay.
And there was tons of fluid in there. Like, it was full.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so, and it was still completely pinged, right? But it was cool enough that I could pull the radiator cap off.
Yeah. And so, it wasn't, like spraying out when you pulled it off or anything?
No. Okay. It had cooled down by that point. I mean, there was a little pressure in it, you know, but that was about it.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, there's something else going on here.
Because it's not, the coolant isn't hot. I know in our engines, the 22 REs, there's like four different coolant sensors. There's your temperature sender sensor. There's the four-wheel drive fan sensor, which actually, if you're in four-wheel drive and your engine gets over a certain degrees temperature, it makes your engine rev at a higher RPMs.
Oh, interesting.
When in idle. So it kicks up your idle to like 1500 or 1600, something like that.
Oh, dang.
The stock fan, the pulley fan, can run faster to keep your engine cooler and keep the airflow going.
Yeah.
So there's that sensor. There's the engine temperature sensor, which is for the ECU that goes back to the computer. And then there's a fourth one. I forget what the fourth one does. But I would imagine, since it was your gauge that was pinging, that it was your temperature sender unit for the gauge.
Right.
That is something that was going on with that, would be my guess.
Yeah.
So were you able to sit down and diagnose it or figure it out at all? Or
to an extent, I think you kind of know the answers to these.
Maybe. I may just also be directing the conversation for our listeners.
Right. And so, after about 40, 45 minutes sitting on the side of the freeway, my truck not cooling down, I told my buddies that I'm not going to make it. I'm just going to take the truck home. I'm calling AAA.
Okay. Were you able to catch them on the ham radio, your fancy smancy ham?
No, we were calling each other on cell phones.
Boring. Such a letdown, man.
Yeah. And the other guys have their ham license because they were in the same class as me in your class. But yeah,
that's funny.
we were talking on the...
this is the funny part. If it was me and my uncle, we would text each other ping, N6ICW or ping, and whatever repeater we wanted to get on.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd get on the repeater and talk to each other that way rather than talking on our cell phones.
That's funny. Yeah, that's because you're a big dork.
Geek. We prefer the term geek, okay?
All right. Good to know.
That's the socially acceptable term for him.
Nerd?
Nerd, no. Geek.
Geek.
It's a geek.
All right. So, by this point, another CHP officer came.
Okay. So, you're starting to draw a crowd.
Yeah. And he was like, hey, what's going on? And I explained the problem. And he's like, okay, I'm calling a tow truck to pull you off the freeway.
Okay.
And I was literally on the phone with AAA. I'm like, I'm on the phone with AAA. Uh-huh. Like, you know, and he's like, no, we're going to get you off. Tell the AAA people you're going to be at the next exit.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay. And then the tow truck guy came, and I convinced him to take me, in essence, two exits.
Okay.
So, to go up one exit, turn around, and come back to the exit that I had pulled on the freeway with.
Okay, yeah.
And then I called my AAA people, and I canceled my tow truck because at that point I was only 2 miles from home, and I'm like, you know what, my engine is cold because it's been sitting an hour. I probably have some sort of electrical problem that's telling my engine that it's hot. I'm just gonna drive it home.
Okay.
And so then I drove it back to my house from there.
Okay.
And it ran fine. I drove it conservatively, but everything was working great.
Nice.
Which also led me to believe it was more of a misread signal or gauge is bad or something. Yeah. So, at this point, for some reason, you came over. You were coming over for rough stuff? I think I'd said,
what's funny, you guys over there.
So rough stuff messaged me while I was on the side of the freeway. Okay. And they're like, is that Bobcat and you on the side of the freeway? And I had two other Instagram people message me.
Uh-huh.
And one of them actually did a whole U-turn and came back and checked on me and was seeing if I was okay on the side of the freeway. And so I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And so I told Rough Stuff, because they were having a birthday party for their one of the owners, Dan. And
Dan got a lot of pies in the face that day.
He did get a lot of pies in the face. And I told him, I was talking to him, and then I said, at first I said, I'm bummed I'm not going to be able to make it because I'm going four-wheeling. And then I talked to him later. I'm like, well, I'm not going four-wheeling anymore. Now I can make the party.
Yeah.
And so I told you I was going to the party.
Yeah.
So then you came up. Mm-hmm. Then while we're at my house, we pulled the temperature sensor fuse. Or the sensor. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. The sensor out. And we checked it for some continuity and and things of that nature. And
we took a propane torch to it, heated it up.
Yep.
And the resistance shot up like it should have.
Mm-hmm.
So
And okay. So, and it looked like it was working okay. We also sanded it and cleaned it up a little bit, mm-hmm. and did a little bit of work.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to that was when you came back. We already went to the party at that point. So
yeah. I don't think the timeline of events was that. I wasn't going to say anything, okay. But no, I'm just kidding.
So, we'll just continue on with Bobcat and then we'll jump back to rough stuff. How about that? So then, since then,
uh-huh.
I put in the sender.
Okay. The new sensor. Okay.
The old sensor that we cleaned.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? Because I tried to start it and see if water came out so mm-hmm. I could drive it into the shop and water started coming out.
Oh.
out of where the sensor
is. Oh, the sensor was, yeah.
Right? I didn't put it back in. I was like, okay, fine. And so then I put the sensor back in, mm-hmm. plugged it in,
mm-hmm.
went to drive it in the shop, and it immediately pinged over into hot. And that was like a day later.
Yeah.
Right. So
no, there's no
obviously
way
my engine's not hot.
Yeah.
You know, sitting for almost 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
And so there's definitely some sort of electrical issue of some sort going on.
Uh-huh.
And then since then I have bought another sensor, but I haven't put it in yet.
Okay.
So
interesting.
I'm gonna start there and then I'm gonna work my way back into wires and grounds and maybe the gauge or mm-hmm. you know, things of that nature. So
yeah, interesting. Okay, well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, it's sort of a bummer.
A little frustrating
because uh-huh. you know, it seems like the truck was actually working fine. It was just a misreading,
mm-hmm.
and I probably could have gone wheeling, but I didn't want to go and hurt my vehicle if it was true readings. And then now it's a matter of figuring out what the actual problem is and diagnosing that and then, you know, fixing it in the meantime. Huh. So, we have upcoming this week, we have Steaks and Stories on Saturday out at the uh-huh. Rubicon, and I would like to go out to that. So I'm hoping to be able to figure it out. And then the following weekend, we got invited to go out onto, the first annual power tank ride.
Yep.
And I would like to go out on that.
Do you need a ride seat for that?
I might have to kick my buddy out, but we'll so we could talk about that.
Okay.
And so I want to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do want to try and get the brakes installed.
Okay.
By then.
Because you have those rear, you're doing the disc brake conversion on the rear,
I
want
to do rear disc brake conversions. Okay. I'm going to do I want to put Tundra brakes, discs mm-hmm. and calipers up in the front.
Okay.
And I want to do a dual diaphragm brake booster
uh-huh.
up in the engine.
Okay.
Engine bay.
Yeah.
And nice. So my goal in the next 2 weeks is to do those two things.
You're going to go drifting with it next?
Why?
Because you're going to have such awesome brakes, you'll be able to lock up your 40s and not have any issues.
I don't have 40s, but yeah.
We're putting 40s on Bobcat.
Eventually, yeah. But I have 30. I'm not, yes. Hopefully, I could lock up my 40s. That'd be great. Because that's the thing is, you know, I have 37s on now and stock uh-huh. brakes, and uh-huh. they just, you know, from the stock tire being maybe a 30 or 31 to 37s, there's a lot more rotational mass and the brakes don't work as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to learn all these really good ways to improve your brakes. And mm-hmm. I'm hoping that, you know, this will solve those problems.
Nice.
I do think my brake booster is bad anyway. Like,
really? Are you getting when you push the pedal to the floor, does it just kind of keep sinking?
Yeah, I have to do two pumps to get any pressure behind it. And then if I hold it there, it slowly loses pressure. To me, that's the brake booster
problem. That's a brake booster issue, yeah.
So I've got to get a new brake booster regardless.
Okay.
I want to see if I can get the brakes going in time and then solve that sensor issue in the next few weeks.
I know that we, before meeting up at the studio today to record, you went and tried to find a brake booster. Did you get one?
I haven't gone yet.
Oh,
I just came straight here. I was probably going to do it on the way back if they're still open, which...
Okay.
I don't know if they will be.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. A lot of stuff has been happening today.
Yeah. Well, cool. So you had all that stuff. So how was rough stuff? Because I know I was super busy getting ready for Sierra Trek mm-hmm. and getting back from my work trip to San Jose. And so I was like, you know what? I could use a middle of the day party.
Yeah.
So I just kind of left and went up to Rough Stuff with you. Tell us all about how Rough Stuff was.
Rough Stuff? I thought it was a great time. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. wasn't a big party for a lot of other people, it seemed. Mainly it was just their crew or their, you know, their employees that were there.
A lot of their employees, a few significant others were there.
Yeah, and then some randoms like us. And
were the randos.
Yeah, definitely.
The Rough Stuff groupies.
But it was fun because they had a huge water balloon launcher that they had made.
Yes.
And
what
then
did you see what they made it out of?
A metal. I don't didn't notice anything.
You didn't look
more.
At it really? It was made out of a double triangulated four-link suspension.
Oh, arms. Was it?
Yeah. It had big old Himes on either end and then the Rough Stuff logo kind of like down low in the middle between the double triangulation. It was really cool.
I was looking at it
and I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, okay. I didn't dig that deep into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they had a big old target way out in the... In the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
And it was
they
funny.
Had two targets.
Yeah. They, well, three in a way. Yeah. Before you got there, I shot my very first balloon I shot. I believe it nicked the top of the target and hit the other guy that was standing behind it.
The guy that was back there taking pictures or videoing or whatever.
And
that's awesome.
And they and all the Rough Country Rough Stuff people were saying they're both targets and it's a special award if you hit the person. And like I turn around and I look at them and they're like, "You hit him." And I'm like, "Yeah."
What do I get?
And I hit the target. Yeah. And they're like, and then they didn't, nothing happened.
Oh, man.
They didn't let me pie Dan because if you hit the target, you gotta put a pie in Dan's face. And they didn't reward me for anything for hitting that guy that was standing out there silly taking photos and literally trying to catch him at points. And then, later when you were showing up, they also said if you can hit the boat way back there, that, you get to double pie in the face, Dan.
Yeah.
But, and it was like twice the distance of the target. But
yeah.
We were coming close. Like we were.
One guy, there were two people hit it.
Two people hit it.
Yeah. That was funny. Just jumping ahead a little bit because it has to do with this. I ran into Dan up at Sierra Trek.
Oh, really?
He was up there. And I was like, "Hey, man. So have you had any pie lately?"
Yeah. Did you get all that whipped cream out of your beard?
Yeah, he pretty much said, "I never, ever want to have whipped cream ever again." So,
funny.
He had a good time. It was fun out there.
It was fun. They did a really big barbecue. Mm-hmm. They had they had ribs, they had hot dogs, they had burgers, they had veggie burgers, they had tri-tip.
Yeah.
They had all kinds of toppings and all kinds of side dishes out there. Mm-hmm. It was a fun, wonderful event.
It was really cool. We got fun koozies that had said the second annual Dan Day.
Right. Yep.
With a big old Santa beard on there because that's what Dan has.
Yep. Yep. What was really cool about the event though was that they were matching, I think they were matching up to $3,000, possibly up to $6,000. I don't recall.
Mm-hmm.
For Shriners Hospital. So everybody that was donating money or a percentage of things purchased online or at the shop, a percentage of that was going to be donated to Shriners Hospital.
Yeah. Shriners Kids Hospital. Their original goal was $1,500.
Right.
To get in and donate. And by the time that we had sat down and blown out Dan's candles, which was, I don't know, 2 p.m., 1:30, 2 p.m. that day, they had already reached $3,000. So they had already doubled the goal.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it ended up getting to. I never looked or asked Dan about that. But that was really cool, too, to see that support there.
I think they were cutting it off at 5.
Yeah.
So a few hours later, and they were matching a certain portion of that. I think they were up to $3,000 just all donated.
Just all donations,
and then they were matching a portion of that to be an extra boost. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah. So that was really fun. Rough Stuff's doing some cool stuff. They're locals to us, so we get to go up and say hi to those guys pretty regularly, pretty much whenever we want to or whenever we need Dom tubing or Heim joints or anything like that. So really cool guys. Definitely go check out and support them if you have any builder projects going on. So what else did you do? Because I remember when we were at Rough Stuff, the GF of yours there said that she was demanding adventure.
Oh, yeah.
And she was very adamant about getting adventure because she was promised adventure.
Yep, that's true.
So did she get some adventure?
She did. Yeah, okay. We were talking about a bunch of different hikes to go on and things to go and do. And so we decided on a trail up near Colfax.
Okay.
And then while we were driving up, we said, you know what would be funny is if we actually drove to Fordyce and started walking in on the trail. And walking towards where they would be coming out and just meet up with the friends that were wheeling and kind of show her the trail. And the start of Fordyce Trail, actually, the Tacoma can drive a fair distance down.
It can get into Eagle Lakes.
Yeah.
Just fine, I think.
Well, it can also go towards Fordyce on the Fordyce Trail until that off camber hilly section, you know, you can kind of pull off on the side there in the trees before like it starts getting somewhat barren. Mm-hmm. So, I figured I would drive down to, there was a few camping spots in like the kind of the road splits. I'd drive down to where that is and then camp park the truck and then we'd walk on.
Yeah.
And so I was keeping my eye on the opposite side of the freeway looking for my friends if they were, because they had tow rigs and things. And so I'd know what they're driving. And so I never saw them. And then when we got to the staging area, I drove around and there were no trucks there. Their trucks weren't there.
Okay.
And so I called them and they're like, oh, we just left. And they were literally like, I think it was because there's a section of the freeway where you kind of just split like the really, really big hill.
Yep.
There's the freeway splits and there's wilderness between them. And I think we just crossed each other.
Yeah. Eastbound traffic is like 200 feet lower than the westbound traffic right there. Yeah. Yeah. You can't see each other
on Highway 80.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I said, you know what? Let's drive up Signal Peak.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And so we went up Signal Peak. We went the easy way. We didn't start there.
Okay. So you went over to Cisco Grove.
Yeah. We went up to Cisco Grove and went up that way.
Nice.
I don't think the Tacoma can, it's too stock right now to do the harder route there at Eagle Lakes.
It's too low to the ground right now. I think it could do it. You would just get banged up and rip off a bumper.
Or the rock sliders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what, aka steps on the, in this case. Yeah, I think there's that one, like, sort of pointed rock near the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could, like, drive around that in the lower area, but then that next section where there's the rocky, like, rollover hill, I would bottom out there.
Yeah.
So we went the easy way.
Okay.
Which wasn't very easy in a stock vehicle.
Really?
Well, I mean, you just don't think about it when we drive our bigger rigs.
Yeah.
That we have, you know, a lot more ground clearance.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's probably more ground clearance under my differential than underneath from the belly pan of the Charlotte.
Tacoma. Yeah.
You know?
That's funny.
And, you know, so I had to choose my lines more carefully.
Mm-hmm.
I did put it down into four-wheel low just for gearing aspects because that hill gets steep.
It is. There's a couple sections where it's like, yeah, it's steep, man.
And so just for gearing factor, it was a little easier on the truck and a little easier on us in the cab, you know. And
did you air down?
I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't want to lose my ground clearance.
I see. Yeah. That makes sense.
Also, I didn't bring anything because we were planning on hiking. I didn't bring anything to air up or to air down. And those people at Cisco Grove.
I was going to say, you can air up at Cisco Grove free.
Don't like me. They like you, but don't like me.
That's funny.
Those tires would be faster to air up than Bobcats would be. Yeah. So,
you'd only need like two tokens then.
Yeah, right. It's not that difficult of a trail that I concerned myself with airing down.
Okay.
And so we went up there and we hiked around at the top for a little bit and we went out to that old, railroad building way out there in the corner and saw that and walked around and then we were walking back and a Jeep and a Blazer were coming up the hard way.
Okay.
And then there, another Jeep pulled up somewhat after Idrit got there and then he was walking, when we were walking back from the building, he was walking out. He's like, how much farther is it? Where is this thing? You know, I'm like, oh, you're almost there. You just got to go down the hill a little.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay. And then the Jeep and Blazer, like when we were leaving, they flagged me to go ahead. It looked like they were going to park and go out.
Uh-huh.
And then they immediately turned right behind me and started following me down the hill.
Okay.
Right? And I'm in a... they were both...
down the easy side?
They were on at least 35s or 37s.
Okay.
Yeah, down the easy way. And built much more than Charlotte is. Right? And I'm going slow. Like, yeah. I'm going slow and have to choose my lines. Yeah. And the Jeep was right on my rear end. And and at this point, like, right as you come off the summit, there's nowhere for you to pull over.
There's nowhere to go.
So he had to go slow. I'm like, dude, he flagged me to go.
Yeah.
Like, you told me to go. You suffer now and you have to go slow. And really, there might have been a spot that I could have possibly pulled off on, but I didn't want to risk it. So really, when the safe spot became available, I took it and I let them both pass. And they weren't upset. They waved, said thanks.
Nice. Okay.
But they flagged me ahead. Yeah. Like, I'm like, come on, man. And then, we just, scooted down the rest of the trail. It's pretty easy after that. And then we just drove home. So we still got some adventure. We still got some wheeling in. Mm-hmm. I did put it in four wheel low. So I felt like I did something during the day. It was,
how did she like the adventure? Was she, fulfilled with that adventure? Did that meet her demands?
Yes. Okay. She said we got the truck dirty, so she was happy.
Oh. Nice.
It's super dusty, and she didn't know about the building up at the top, so she thought that was really cool to go and see. And I knew some of the history because I'd spoken about it in a video in the past. Mm-hmm. And so I was telling her that it was built for the railroad, for wildfires and for snow avalanches. Mm-hmm. And they were watching, making sure that there's no problems, and it was a warning place for railroad company and things of that nature. So
did you ever know about the people that go up and lived there during the winters?
Who they were, what they did, or what do you mean?
Just kind of like how many people they had up there and how long they were up there.
I think
at a time.
I'm guessing. I think they had two up there at a time, and they were probably staying for like a matter of weeks, I think, and then trading off with other people.
Okay. No.
Or did they stay up, like, maybe one of them and stay up there for the whole winter?
There was three people at a time.
Okay.
And they would stay up there for the full winter. So the railroads would shuttle the people and all of their gear and equipment and food and everything for the full winter, like 6 months at Signal Peak, right?
Yeah.
Up in like September, October, November, somewhere in that range, just before the first snowfall. And then these three people would stay there until the snow melts off in March, April, May, somewhere around there. So they had to use three people because one person would just get too lonely and go crazy.
Right.
Two people would fight and try and kill each other. Being cooped up in that house for the full winter.
Right.
But three people... You can now have like a middle person in between arguments when they come out.
Oh, interesting.
So, and then they had the three people, work shifts watching down the canyon and everything. So,
Dang.
Yeah. So three people for about 6 months on top of Signal Peak.
Yeah. That would be boring.
Yeah, it would.
It's a gorgeous view, but yeah, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad for the 20 minutes that I was up there.
So cool. So you got to hike around on the freeway.
Yeah.
You got to go watch Dan get pied in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to go to the top of Signal Peak and see the lookout building. And all
that
in one
was
day.
All Saturday.
Jeez, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was fun. And nice. So you also went up. We don't think we spoke about your trip up Signal Peak.
No, mine wasn't that impressive, though. I just kind of went up and set up a repeater for Sierra Trek.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up Signal Peak, went up the easy side because the guy I was with had an old early 90s, I believe, K1500 Chevy pickup. And so he had four-wheel drive and low and everything, but it was all pretty much stock still. So no ground clearance, no big tires or anything. So we went up the easy side and we got to... we made friends with some of the entities that own the property on top of Signal Peak with all those towers and everything.
Yep.
And we were able to set up a repeater there up on one of the fences and connect to their power. So it was really cool. We got really good coverage from there. Down through the canyon. So wind chills 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Sierra Trek. The coverage was decent as long as you had an antenna on the outside of your vehicle.
Right.
So there were some people that, you know, we hand out these little tiny handhelds that are like $15 each for the event for the trail crew. And those were not reaching the repeater very well just because their antennas are super limited. They don't run a whole lot of power. I think they ran 2 watts, maybe 4 watts total.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. But whenever I was in the canyon or up at camp or anything, I was able to blast the repeater with my truck.
Yeah.
And it worked phenomenally. So the repeater that we set up in camp ended up not working out so hot, I think because we had too good of an antenna on it.
Yeah? How's that work?
So we had an antenna that was super, super directional and a high gain, very directional antenna. And I think what happened was that the signal shot out over the canyon.
And didn't drop down into the canyon at all.
And so I'm pretty sure the signal, we got it to probably like San Francisco or something from the Truckee area, but it didn't get down into the canyon at all from that repeater.
Oh, wow.
So we have a couple of things we're going to change up a little bit differently for next year. But essentially what we ended up doing, because I was working Windchill 5 the whole weekend.
We'll get into that later.
And we'll get into that later. Whenever they needed to reach Windchill 3 and 2, because 1 got decent reception with the little handhelds, and 5 and 4 got pretty decent reception. But 3 and 2 didn't really get that good of reception. Whenever we needed to reach them, I just got on Simplex, because we were running Simplex on the same frequency as the repeater. Down the canyon, and I just blasted the entire canyon. Everybody was able to hear me just fine from my truck.
Oh, wow.
Forerunner, yeah.
That's cool.
So, as our buddy, our listener Sherpa would say, the Forerunner literally turned into a rolling repeater.
That's funny.
For Sierra Trek.
An R squared, huh?
An R squared, yeah. So yeah, that was my trip up to Signal Peak. We got up there, we stayed, we got the repeater set up in 20, 25 minutes.
Oh, that's quick.
It was very quick. We had all the parts. We knew where we had already planned out where we were going to put it. We put it up and checked with a signal report from Meadow Camp, Meadow Base, which was at Meadow Lake Base Camp there in the campground.
Did you have somebody there?
We did, yeah. Oh. There was people up there. Cal 4 goes up the weekend before Sierra Trek and sets everything up. It's called Work Weekend.
Oh, got it.
So they had people up there, and there were some people that stay up there from Work Weekend all the way for the week through the end of Sierra Trek.
Mm.
And so they were up there, and we asked if there was anybody there, and they gave us a great signal report from all the way on Signal Peak. So we said, okay, cool. It's good to go. We couldn't get down to the canyon to check everything just because we didn't have time, and we couldn't do it beforehand because PG&E doesn't drop the flows.
Right.
For Fordyce River, the creek there, and except for the week of Sierra Trek. So there was no way for us to get down and test the signal propagation in the canyon. But yeah, it was fun. We got that set up, then we had lunch, and then hiked out to the other point, not the one with the lookout on it. Went out to the other point, which is like it creates the S turn in the Fordyce Trail with Signal Peak. So Fordyce comes up and kind of does this massive zigzagging S trail and starts at Eagle Lakes, ends at Meadow Lakes, and in between there's Signal Peak and Old Man Mountain. The trail kind of zigzags around those two peaks.
That's the one that's one of the mountains that holds Fordyce Lake in?
No, that is Hartley Butte, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the trail zigzags around this point that protrudes out Signal
Peak.
Is it on
the north or south side of the trail?
North side. Sorry, south side of the trail, north side of Signal Peak.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But out on that point there, you can look down and see the trail. It's really cool. You can see the First River Crossing, Sunrise Hill. You can see Windchill 1. And we think we can see Windchill 2.
Mm.
And then you can see the Excelsior Mine from up there and a lot of really cool stuff. You can see the dam. You can see Committee Crossing way down in the distance.
Cool.
So it was really cool just kind of getting out on that point. And I'm like, man, this point would be an awesome place to put a repeater for Sierra Trek. It would literally cover the entire trail except for, I think, Windchills 4 and 5.
Okay.
So.
Next year?
Maybe next year. The problem is we have to set up solar power.
Yeah.
If we want to put it out there, which we have. It's just not as consistent as getting plugged into 110 AC.
Yeah, totally.
Provided by one of the companies up there. So. Yeah, we had fun. That was a good time. Drove back down. I had overheating issues driving up. which is still really annoying. Yeah.
Dang.
So even with my head gasket redone and I'm not, you know, leaking head gasket anymore, I'm still getting overheating issues. Like I think we talked a little bit about it on the last episode.
Yeah.
And so I think that I just have a clog in the cooling system somewhere.
Okay.
So I need to pressure it out if I ever get the 4Runner back.
What do you mean by that?
So I got back from Sierra Trek, and today's Monday when we're recording here. So I got back last night about 9 p.m., took a couple of things out of the rig. So I took out my backpack, the food that would go bad if I left it in there during the day, and my clothes, because they were smelly and they needed to get washed. So I took that stuff out, left everything else in there, right?
Okay.
So all my camping equipment, all my tools, my fridge, my toolbox, all my awesome stuff. And I got up today and kind of was playing catch up with work this morning. And then finally, I went to take the dog out at like 12:30, 1 p.m. And the 4Runner wasn't where I left it.
Did you move? Did it? Somebody move it?
Somebody moved it. I don't know who, and I don't know where they moved it to. So, the 4Runner is officially stolen. I've filed a police report, and we'll see if it comes back. I posted it up on social media, so the NorCal 4x4 page. I posted it up there, and since I posted it there, it has been shared over 1,000 times.
Like in an hour.
Like, yeah, within 1 to 2 hours over throughout Facebook. So it's up there. It's on Instagram. I posted over on Pirate 4x4. I Hate Mud. I tried to post on TTOR and Marlin Crawler, but they are very difficult to register for those forum boards for some reason.
Hmm.
So, yeah, if you guys see a white 1985 4Runner with a lot of antennas on it on 36-inch tires, IROX, and white beadlock rings and HVAC hood louver vents, let me know. I'd like to get it back at some point. I am offering a $500 reward for anybody that comes up with information that ultimately leads to me getting the 4Runner back. So I have a lot of money and good times invested in that thing, and I'd really like to see it get back. And checked with my insurance company.
Oh yeah.
And I just have liability coverage. I don't have theft coverage on the 4Runner.
Oh,
so
brutal.
Yeah, whatever condition it comes back in, I'll get to put it all back together or see what I want to do with it. And if I don't get it back, then it's going to end up being a complete and total loss. So, yeah.
Dang.
So, that's the bummer, the bad news, for today. So if anybody out there sees a white 4Runner driving around NorCal or sees parts, being sold on the open market, if you see a Dometic 50 quart fridge with a nice aluminum fridge tray, which is welded to a really nice aluminum 3-drawer box, sold on the open market, or if you see a Motorola repeater being sold on the open market with a really nice directional antenna, if you see, let's see what else I had,
your tires.
A couple of tents, my tires, 36 by 1350 by 15 IROX used, if you see those being sold on the open market, really bummed. For the volunteering and helping run communications in Windchill 5 at Sierra Trek, Sneevy's Off-Road, who we may have some updates about him later on in an episode coming up here, but he donated synthetic winch lines to the organizers of each of the Windchill committees that helped out the volunteers and everything. So I won a really nice, like, synthetic winch line, and that was in the 4Runner, so that's now gone. All my handheld ham radios, my big 4Runner truck radio, my APRS radio set up, two tents, a camping chair, all of my camping equipment, so my stove, my lights, my little pop-up LED lanterns, my cookware, my cast iron skillets, which I'm really sad about. Now that I'm actually going through everything, I need to stop.
yeah.
So
anyways, need to write this all down for...
I do need to write all this down. So I'll be able to, I think, put the stuff on my home insurance, my renter's insurance, which will be somewhat nice, but the rig itself and everything that's there is going to be probably a complete and total loss from what it sounds like right now, unless social media comes through and finds it. So
yeah,
it's turning into the most popular first-gen 4Runner on the internet right now. So yeah, hopefully crazy. That does something. But yeah, so that's the update on the 4Runner and why I referenced it as the lost child earlier in the episode. But who knows? Maybe if I don't get it back, then I don't have to deal with heating issues anymore. Overheating.
That's a positive way to think about it.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah, it has my off-road radio and decals over the front windshield. My off-road radio logos on the rear quarter panel windows, along with NorCal 4x4 admin team and Snail Trail 4x4 stickers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very distinct and noticeable vehicle. So,
yeah,
I did get somebody say they saw it heading westbound on 50, Highway 50 this morning about 4:40 a.m., which is, you know, one exit or so off of where I live.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping that maybe that will give me a time frame. I'm going to go down and talk to all the neighbors and see if they have rings or video cameras set up.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And see if I can get a good time frame of when it was taken there. So yeah, so that's the update on the 4Runner.
Oh, and that's so brutal.
It's yeah, I'm pretty bummed about it. So
yeah,
I think that's gonna do it for today. We're gonna wrap it up before I, or so that I can go and hang myself later. No, I'm just kidding. So we can go and you guys can enjoy the weekend here on that cheery, bright, awesome note.
Yeah, maybe we should start a GoFundMe account.
I don't know if I want to go that far. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. It's still too fresh in my mind to try and figure out
right
what I want to do yet. So, yeah, so we'll just kind of go. We'll see you guys again after the weekend. So, or on Monday. So this episode's coming out on Thursday, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. This episode's coming out Thursday, and you guys will get to hear our campfire discussion on Monday. So have a great weekend. Don't get into too much trouble out there. And if you're out exploring and see a white 85 runner, 4Runner with fiberglass fenders, shoot me an email, Tyler at myoffroadradio.com or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. We also have it posted up everywhere on the internet and social media, so you can tag us at snailtrail4x4 on Instagram or 4x4 Toyota Tyler. And, of course, the YouTube channel. Definitely go check out everything we have going on over there. We have the last episode up on YouTube, so you guys get to see what we were talking about, some of the things that we referenced in the episode. You get to actually see it on the camera there. So
That was our three favorite trails.
That was our three favorite trails. So, oh, update on that. Barrett Lake might be opening in the next couple weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, do you need a right seat to go do Barrett?
Maybe. Yeah. If I can figure out my temperature sensor.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll get it done. So, anyways, I guess that's it. Any other updates or anything for all the peeps out there? The Snail Trail peeps?
Nope. Thanks so much for all the support. Thanks to all our patrons, and have a great weekend.
Awesome. Keep crawling, everybody.